Hi, my name is Daniela Pacheco, and I'm the managing partner of Empodera Impact Capital. Femtech for me is about building equitable solutions to empower women to build stronger social and economic development.
Welcome to Femtech Focus with Dr. Brittany Barreto, exploring the past, present, and future of women's health and wellness.
Welcome to the Femtech Focus podcast, brought to you by Fem Health Insights, the leaders in women's health market research and consulting. In this show, we have meaningful and provocative conversations with Fem Health experts. These academics, doctors, and innovators tell us about the past, present, and future of women's health and wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Brittany Barreto, and in today's episode, I interview Daniela Pacheco, managing partner and portfolio manager at New Ventures. Based in Colombia, New Ventures partners with high-growth founders and companies helping connect ideas to capital. They've recently launched a new fund called Empodera Impact Capital, which is specifically dedicated to femtech investments for women's health companies based in Central and South America. In this interview, we discuss the state of women's health in LATAM, women's health innovation and business models in LATAM, and key cultural considerations impacting women in LATAM. This is a great opportunity to learn more about the future of women's health startups and investments in Latin America. Enjoy the episode. Hey, Daniela, welcome to the show.
Hi, Brittany. It's a pleasure to be here.
Where are you calling us today?
I'm based in Bogota, Colombia. It's a beautiful sunny day here in Latin America.
Colombia. So excited. You're already previewing what we're going to talk about, Latin America. Why don't you kick us off with letting us, our listeners, know a little bit more about yourself and your background?
Great. So I'm Daniela Pacheco. I am the youngest of three daughters, so a very female-oriented power family. I was born and raised in beautiful Colombia, and I have worked most of my career with entrepreneurs from different sectors and through different fields. That is my passion, trying to build the ecosystem here in Latin America. I have experience in VC, working in funds, and mostly developing investment strategies and building value-added services beyond capital for entrepreneurs. I'm the manager of New Ventures Capital, which is a Mexico-based company where we develop thematic funds to solve social and environmental problems. New Ventures has more than 20 years building the impact ecosystem, and we manage two funds today. One that is focused on investing in early stage tech startups that promote youth well-being in Latin America. And the one that I think brought me to this amazing conversation is I'm the current managing partner of Empodera Impact Capital, which we are very proud to say that is the first fund in Latin America focused on solving some of the most pressing issues in women's health and investing in health companies through a gender lens. I think it's relevant that I'm 7 months pregnant.
Yes, she's super pregnant, y'all.
I'm super pregnant with a baby girl, which has only motivated me more to work in women's health and to solve some of these issues that we face day to day. So I think it's been very poetic to start a women's health fund and become pregnant in the process with a baby girl.
Classic.
And I'm very passionate about gender equity as a competitive advantage. I will come from a world, an investor world, which is very male dominated. Mm-hmm. So I'm very passionate about the challenges and the opportunities that I have as a female investor in Latin America.
So exciting. Can you tell our listeners what the investment thesis is for this new Femtech fund?
Yes. So we focus on companies in stage series A or series B. We're working with different mechanisms of financing, structured debt, revenue-based financing, mezzanine. And it's a fund that has a very strong focus on impact. We do want to help solve the huge shortage of access to health services and products. But we're looking to everything from diagnostics to continuum of care and everything that is the journey of the patient, of the women throughout their lives. We invest, our sweet spot is going to be around $1 million per investment. And we hope, as pioneers in the field, to build the ecosystem of women's health and femtech in Latin America.
Do the companies you invest in have to be based in Latin America?
Yes, we invest in companies based in Latin America. We're looking mostly at pipeline in Mexico, Colombia, and Chile due to our network. And we're working with amazing partners in terms of other LPs who have come in who have the same vision and mission to empower women in women's health.
Amazing. You know, admittedly, we have not seen a lot of activity of femtech in Central and South America, but we're starting to see it really start to kick up. We notice a lot of more like local initiatives versus, you know, companies that are starting and want to expand globally. So I'm really excited today to learn more about Latin America's femtech ecosystem. So what opportunities are you seeing in Latin American market for femtech and women's health startups?
So we're seeing, I think we are in the start of a big movement where women have really become empowered as they enter the workforce. They become economically independent. They want specialized services. I think all of us have lived that experience of going to a gynecologist who really doesn't understand your problems. I'm living it as a pregnant woman.
It's almost a curse. It's almost a curse that we know so much. Like, because when we go to the doctors, we're like, listen, I know what you're trying to do or say or what you could do or say. And yeah.
And you're totally analyzing the experience, right? Yeah. You know there's a lack of research. You know that there are so many opportunities to improve. So as a pregnant woman, I started reading a lot, for example. And the first thing that came to mind was there's no research. So we know that only 4% of research and development goes to women. Mm-hmm. In pregnant stages, even worse. So having that conversation with your doctor where it's very transactional, and he's really not explaining all the changes you're going to live during your pregnancy. So I think that's a huge opportunity, the lack of awareness, the lack of education. There's around 140 million people in the region who have no access at all to healthcare, and 70% are women. So I think Latin America is really waking up to this health revolution, and women are the center of this revolution. So if a woman is healthy, her family is healthy, her community is healthy. So we're really trying to build that impact. I think there's a huge opportunity in terms of specialized services, in terms of diagnosis. We're seeing a lot of great technology, innovative companies in terms of diagnosis for breast cancer, for example, using AI, reducing the cost of mammograms to a fraction, using blood work. So that has been amazing. We have also seen huge opportunities in menopause. And I think here we've worked with a company called Sin Reglas, but there's no information at all. And women are incredibly invisible during this stage of their lives. For example, around 40% of women who quit between 45 to 55 is because of menopause, and no one is talking about this huge problem. So I think that is a big blue ocean. We're seeing opportunities as well in fertility, in different technologies that could help women achieve their families. And I think in Latin America, if we go back to the basics, right? Because there is no primary care or people who have no access. So it's basically how can you use technology, digital solutions to go into the Amazon and reach that woman that had to travel 7 hours to go to a hospital, and a lot of opportunities in sexual and reproductive health, given that one out of every four women in Latin America has a child before she's 18. And that fuels poverty. That is a huge social and economical problem that we keep seeing. It's centuries old, but really trying to build solutions in education, in awareness, and access to proper sexual and reproductive health are very big opportunities.
Wow. That 1 in 4 number is staggering. Is that, do you think, you may not know this, but I'm just going to ask it, is that a due to lack of contraception or lack of education, or is it just culturally normal that like women under 18 would be getting pregnant? Is it like, you know, or is it still, is it stigmatized and these women don't want to be pregnant that young?
I think there's a lot of lack of education. I think the it's an incredibly religious country that I think has a deep effect mm-hmm. on the way we view sexuality at a young age. So there's a lot of denial that girls at 13 are having sex. Mm-hmm. So I think that patriarchal sort of mindset that why are you talking to my daughter about sex when she's 13, when she's not having sex, but she's actually having sex, I think is very culturally driven. And there's a lot of taboos and barriers that we have to break in order to have these hard conversations and provide, and for girls to be able to say, I need contraception, where can I get it, where is it accessible? So I think part of the problem has been that we have this illusion that kids are kids, but at the end, kids are having sex and... Yeah. We need to accept that and have those hard conversations. Mm.
How many femtech companies are in Latin America and what are they working on?
So we have mapped around 400 companies in the health tech sector. We have mapped around 100 specifically in femtech. There's a lot of sexual and reproductive care, a lot of diagnosis and using technology also to improve the customer journey and the continuum of care of women. This includes, we're seeing a lot of giving the problems in the region with diabetes, cardiovascular diseases. We're seeing a lot of innovation in that. We're also seeing, for example, a lot of innovation in maternal care, which maternity mortality continues to be a huge problem in countries like Mexico, where the economy has boomed. It has so many privileges and everything, but maternal mortality has increased 3% year by year since 2017. So trying to have the specialized care. And I think a lot of there's companies who are helping with the education aspect of professionals that I think is very important, which is part of the whole femtech world, maybe not so directly, but part yeah. of a very important resources. We're seeing innovations in terms of abortion with applications who are providing customized care after women have abortions, access and education to where they can have these safe abortions, which is also a problem in the region.
Yeah, I was going to ask, what is the abortion landscape in Central and South America?
So we have, for example, Colombia. It is legal up to 20 weeks. It was recent legislation that we are very proud of. Mexico is more, I feel they have to do more development. Argentina, I think, is working also on legislation, but we're very behind in terms of access to abortion. And one thing is the law, and then another thing is how are you executing it properly to have safer care?
Because mm-hmm. Abortions are happening, right?
Abortions are happening. Women are dying. It's super horrible. So I think definitely policy is something that could really help these young women who are never going to enter the workforce because they have children so young.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Were there other femtech companies or things they're working on? I interrupted you with the abortion question.
We're seeing a lot in menopause, specialized care centers, where you can have a better treatment, more humane care. So I think it's definitely a trend. And I think that women are demanding better services.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like Latin America's trends are very similar to the rest of the world, where we're finally saying like, this is unacceptable that if I live in a rural area and don't have access to a doctor, like that's, we need technology to fix that, and maternal mortality and access to contraception. So actually sounds pretty similar trends as the rest of the world, women. But what are some unique challenges and some unique opportunities that you see in women's health for Latin America compared to other regions?
So I think that some unique opportunities are, for example, the digitalization and the rapidness of what happened in Latin America. So basically in other continents, people first had a laptop, then they had a telephone. In Latin America, it was like people got a cell phone, mm-hmm. and that's how they got access to the digital world. Mm-hmm. So we have incredibly digital native population, from low income to high income. So I think that is a huge opportunity in terms of providing access in rural areas. So that access to technology has been really explosive and has led to a lot of significant achievements in terms of technology. And I think some of the challenges have been that for companies to grow in Latin America, there's a lot of regulatory barriers between country to country. So it's not like you're opening in Colombia and then you're going to open in Chile and Brazil. It is possible, but there are a lot of each healthcare system is different, has its own peculiarity. So I think that's a challenge. And I think the other challenge is sometimes the solutions that are being made are being made maybe for the top 1% of the population. So how can you really build something that is going to be scalable, that is going to reach the bottom of the pyramid, that is really going to have that impact to these millions of women who... And another challenge has been, for example, COVID. COVID actually made us go back in terms of women's rights. Women went back to the households. And that is why I believe it's now more important than ever to invest in women's health and in femtech companies, because we lost almost a generation of progress. Yeah. And I think the challenge working with a lot of health startups is the deep inequity in the health sector as a whole. So we know that, for example, in Latin America, women lead the health decisions in their family. So they take their dad to their doctor, their son, their husband, everything. We know that 70% of the workforce are women, but however, only 4% of women are in managerial positions or in key decision-making positions. So the disconnection between your final customer who's making the decision and the person designing this new app is miles apart. And I think there's a huge opportunity to help health tech startups in general to become more equitable and use women in their teams as a competitive advantage to reach this segment.
You know, we see that across the globe, that in countries and regions where there's more gender equality, I don't know if there's anywhere where there's actual gender equality, but more, we see that there are more femtech companies and solutions and funds and activities and organizations. And countries that have very little gender equality, there's a lack of solutions. But we do see that these regions are starting to figure out that their lack of female health solutions is actually affecting men's health, and it's affecting economic burdens and healthcare costs. And so they're sometimes I think almost think begrudgingly, but you know, through a financial lens, caring about women's health. We see that a lot with Japan and South Korea and Taiwan, a lack of gender equality, but severe fertility issues that is affecting, you know, Mitsubishi and Toyota. They don't have enough babies in their country to fill the workers. And so then they look at the fertility rate, realize women aren't having babies, and then they're forced to look at femtech and women's health issues because it's going to affect their entire country and their governments. And so kind of sounds similar to Latin America, where there is this kind of uprising of women saying we deserve rights, we should be in leadership. And by the way, that means we need to be healthy and well. And so you're seeing these kind of solutions and discussions following. Is that kind of what you're seeing?
Yes, I agree completely that we need to fight the inequality in the health sector to build a better sector. So I feel sometimes when you say femtech, men are, don't feel related, but it's actually the impact it's going to have on you is huge.
Yeah.
And that's why we have to build together.
That's right. By the way, just my own ignorance about the healthcare system in Latin America, who pays for healthcare in Latin American countries? Is it insurance? Is it government? Is it both? Is it private? Who pays for healthcare?
So for example, in Colombia, which I know best is for example, you employers, you pay part of your salary. By law, you have to give part of your salary and your employer has to give an additional payment so you have access to healthcare. And that has led to very wide coverage. But for example, in Mexico, that does not work. So people have to pay a lot of out of pocket. Insurance are expensive. So it's a mix of public and private. Mm-hmm. But each country has its own peculiarities and differences. But definitely trying to make employers pay for the benefits has worked very well in Colombia to share that burden between the employer to provide more coverage. Because as you know, for example, in Mexico, when you have a medical accident, you go back to poverty. Mm-hmm. People don't have how to pay for it. So that's why insurance has become so critical in all this equation and is a key stakeholder as well.
Interesting. Well, we were talking about these challenges and issues for women in Latin America and the disparities in health outcomes. How do you see investing in women's health startups contributing to addressing these challenges?
So I think investing in women health startups is the key to being able to have a productive workforce. I think, not to sound like a politician's dream, but if women go back to the workforce, we could increase GDP by 14% in 5 years. Wow. So women's health becomes the cornerstone of impact in how we can change the landscape. So I think investing is something key. I think not only investing, but building the ecosystem, creating these examples, these inspirational stories, making these woman-led startups have a lot of visibility, providing, because Latin America is deeply unequal in many senses, right? So an entrepreneur may not have those high-level connections to the funds or to mentors. So I think there's a huge work to be done in terms of building that ecosystem, not only with funding, but with knowledge and resources, and also the synergies between how can we connect these companies to pharmaceuticals, mm-hmm. to insurance companies, to government, in order to really scale their solutions in a massive way.
What are some of the key factors you're looking for in deals?
Okay, so we have a very strong impact sense. So we are looking for impact in four lenses, which is access, affordability, quality, and equity. We're looking for solutions that are scalable. So if you're building a tech company that is only for the 1% and is $300 a month, well, probably you're going to have a very tiny market. So we're looking for entrepreneurs who are democratizing access. And we're looking for that big change in user experience, customer journey. How are you really making the process 10 times better? But we are looking for solutions from the bottom of the pyramid that can scale upwards and not from the top downwards. So I think for us, it is very important to be able, and it's not an easy task, right? To make something, you build technology, but then to make it accessible, the distribution. But we are seeing entrepreneurs who are breaking these barriers. And that's what we look. And we look for passionate entrepreneurs that are ready to become leaders of this ecosystem as well.
What are some of the predominant business models for femtech in Latin America? Is it usually direct to consumer where the consumer is paying a subscription or a fee for the product? Or is it going to always be usually B2B where you're getting government contracts and they're subsidizing? What are some of the, or employers, that's a big one in the United States, is companies are going to employers saying, you know, buy this product for all your female employees. What are some of the trending business models in Latin America?
So I think we are seeing a transition. I think a lot of solutions started B2C. Mm-hmm. And now with the changes in venture capital, liquidity in markets, the B2C has become very expensive to scale. Mm-hmm. Now most models are shifting and have seen better product market fit through B2B companies, insurance companies as well, and access to government. So it's like a B2B2C model. Yeah. I think are the ones who are reaching a bigger mass of users.
Yeah. Yeah. We're seeing that as well, especially when you think also about censorship of femtech products. I can't tell you how many femtech companies have been shadow banned on Meta and, you know, all these other social media, or, you know, don't have their commercials approved on TV because it's quote unquote inappropriate, but it's, you know, it's not, it's just female health. So yeah, the business to business model is prospering worldwide. So it's interesting to hear that's similar for Latin America. How big is the actual market opportunity in Latin America? I think that we don't really have numbers around like how much money could one make. And you just said like, we're trying to get products here that are focused on like the really underserved population. So usually you don't think about them making you the $1 billion exits, but maybe so. Tell us about some numbers and valuations.
So we're seeing, for example, that what I've read is that there's very little information. So that around 25 billion worldwide is the femtech market. And LATAM is only around 6%, to around 1.5 billion, which is not representative in terms of population.
Yeah.
Even though we have such a wide population, the 6% is nothing. So in terms of valuation, we're seeing companies, valuations have dropped a bit in Latin America in the past years. But we're seeing companies in seed stage in around 5 million, 8 million. Then they go around to like Series A to 15 million to 20 million. And we're still waiting for that unicorn to lead the way. Mm-hmm. And set the stage for how productive this market is. We are seeing that people want a more omni-channel experience. So completely digital sometimes has been a bit of a challenge. So how can you have clinics, you have more traditional business models that sometimes are not scaling as fast as an app would, but they are providing better care and the service that women want, that they sometimes want on presence, quality service.
And now a quick word from our sponsor. Welcome to the FemTech Focus podcast, brought to you by Fem Health Insights, the leaders in women's health, market research, and consulting. Fem Health Insights offers a plethora of services aimed at propelling the FemTech industry forward. Our team of leading experts specializes in consulting and research, supporting clients across the globe to navigate the complex landscape of women's health innovation. We leverage our extensive database of FemTech companies, which is a powerful resource that is also available by subscription on our website for those looking to gain competitive insights or foster a deeper understanding of the FemTech industry. In addition to research services, Fem Health Insights takes pride in our vibrant community and mentorship programs, including the largest FemTech Slack community with specialized channels for job listings, networking, and city-specific meetups. Our mentor network, consisting of over 50 seasoned experts, stands ready to support your business endeavors from regulatory navigation to marketing strategy. Moreover, we're excited to offer our Deals newsletter and prestigious First in FemTech Awards. Our monthly Deals newsletter highlights 15 FemTech startup fundraises, connecting them with investors ready to support women's health innovation. The First in FemTech Awards celebrate the achievements of those who have made significant contributions to advancing women's health. Now, here's where you come in. We invite you to subscribe to the FemTech Focus podcast and leave us a review. Your support and feedback are invaluable to us. Additionally, subscribe to the Fem Health Insights newsletter at femhealthinsights.com, where you'll receive weekly emails filled with the top stories, opportunities, and women's health innovation. This newsletter is your gateway to the FemTech world. Links to these resources and more can be found in the show notes. So let's dive into the show. And now back to the interview. Now, I know that femtech is still very new and nascent in Latin America. So let's answer this question maybe more in the context of health tech in general for Latin America. Do companies in health tech, typically from Latin America, try to immediately scale to the U.S.? You know, a lot of times we see the trend of European countries are trying to scale to the U.S. with their medical device very, very quickly. Or do you see Latin American-based companies really just focus on their local region?
Brittany, we see very much focus on their on the local region. Mm-hmm. I feel Latin America is a big whale to tackle. Mm-hmm. And the differences between each country, it makes it harder sometimes for them to be able. So they usually start, for example, in Colombia, and then the next, the jewels of the crown are the Mexican and the Brazilian market, which is huge in scale, which pays better. So those are like the strategies that the entrepreneurs are mostly employing.
Yeah. And then in terms of like exiting, is there a active like public market that these companies are like IPOing in, or is it acquisition? And are that a buyers outside of Latin America, or do you have acquirers within Latin America in health tech?
So I feel the sector is really nascent and we haven't had that big splash yet, but we will. It's mostly mergers and acquisition. There is not an exciting IPO market. But there are huge transactions that take place from large pharmaceuticals who buy solutions, insurance companies come into play. So it's mostly acquisitions by strategics, that make those big wins.
Got it. Thank you. By the way, I'm learning so much. I love this podcast. I learn so much in every conversation I have. I know listeners are learning too, but sometimes I feel selfishly I'm the lucky one. Companies that are not based in Latin America, should they be considering scaling there?
I think they should. I think Latin America is a very exciting region. I think there are a lot of technical solutions in the U.S. that could be directly applied here. And you have a blue ocean in terms of competition. I think that is very interesting. I would start with Mexico or Brazil, which was going to take a lot of resources, but it's going to be a market that is going to be very gratifying. I think looking ahead for these entrepreneurs, American entrepreneurs, I think building local partnerships is going to be essential to understand the culture, the differences, because femtech is a very cultural thing as well. No,
yep. So what I hear, and I'm just going to reiterate this because I think it's that important. If you are a Caucasian founded U.S. based company, do not assume that you can just go down to Colombia and push your solution on Colombian women, because it's not just about translating your stuff into Spanish, right? It's about cultural and ethnicity and societal norms, right? So just want to reiterate that for anyone who's like, let's go to Latin America. Like, please have some cultural humility.
I think cultural humility is key. I think this human-centric design that femtech has such a great advantage in that sense is something, and you should really partner with someone who knows the insurance companies, who knows the ecosystem, who knows the regulatory barriers and the policies, so you can be successful. I think starting on your own would be difficult, possible, but difficult. And you can really save time having, and there's great talent here that wants to bring more innovation into the continent.
If people were looking to make partners with Central and South American individuals, is there like any femtech activity happening, like conferences or organizations or community groups? Or how do, my femtech founders who are in France right now find people in Colombia to connect with?
Yes. So if you were in France and you were an entrepreneur who wanted to come here, there are some groups such as the Health Tech Mexico Ecosystem Group, Colombia. Each country has a health tech solution. And there are where most of the entrepreneurs are signed up, mm-hmm. and where there are more conferences. I think that would be the best way to start meeting the ecosystem.
Do you think that there's a need for a femtech organization, like community group, that focuses on Latin America?
I think so, Brittany. I think the work you've done is amazing. I think centralizing everything in organizations like yourself is very powerful. I think we need to bring it to Latin America. We need to start, because we need to join so many forces together for this to really take off and to nurture it. So that's something that we want to do, but we need the partnership with people like yourself that have global knowledge, that can attract new vehicles of capital, of people from all around the world. So for me, bringing these type of communities to the region, I think is amazing.
Well, if you are listening and you are in Central or South America and interested to start a community group, reach out to Daniela and I, because let's make it happen, you know, because I think that, you know, we actually, by time this airs, we will have published our annual landscape report. So go to femhealthinsights.com to download the latest report. And one of the things that we talk about in the report is that we actually see a correlation now between countries that have a community group focused on femtech and the number of femtech companies in that country. And so, you know, when I started Femtech Focus back in 2019, there was literally two community groups in the world. Now there's upwards of 16, maybe even more. And so we're seeing this correlation. And so if we want to see more Femtech startups in Latin America, we should probably start a community group, because we're seeing that correlation between the two. So let's get that going. As we come to the end of our interview here, looking ahead, what are some of your hopes and goals for the future of women's health innovation and investment in Latin America?
So it's following up what you said, start building these communities and ecosystem. As a fund, Empodera expects to reach around 2.6 million women who have no access to healthcare by 2030. And I think what motivates us the most is building in equity, right? So trying to get other health tech startups. We have built gender workshops, inclusivity workshops in the past that have worked really well. But how can we just not make it about this is something, this femtech and women, but really how can we permeate this thought in like all health solutions, and how can they integrate women to build better products, build a stronger competitive advantages? Because I think we are tired of hearing about all the evidence. I think the case is proven that women are great investors, women are great entrepreneurs. I think that's undebatable now. Mm-hmm. But how can we help these other entrepreneurs realize, wow, you're missing on a huge number of opportunities because you're not taking women into the equation. So I think that is what my call to action is to all those health entrepreneurs there. Check your teams, check how you're making decisions, and check how you're really providing these amazing products, taking into account the key decision makers, which are our women.
That's right. That's great advice. I am going to be publishing a book this summer called The Voice of Femtech. And I just finished my introduction chapter. And at the end of the introduction chapter, I write that I hope that this book becomes out of date, and that all these shocking facts and all these problems that I write about in the book, I hope that they're old news. And I hope that my book actually becomes a historical reference of where women's health was. And I write there that, use this as an example of what happens when you don't have diversity at the table and you assume the same thing is going to solution will work for everyone. So use this as inspiration to find other underserved, you know, areas and bring awareness and start a movement, because you can change it. So that's what I hear you saying there.
I second that. I think it's very powerful. All the literature you're working on to create more awareness, and to all the people out there, if you think about women's health only being about women, I think you're missing out on that women's health is about men as well.
Yeah.
And it's about families and communities. And that's what the mind shift we need to have in order to build a better world, Latin America, all these continents that you're present in. So that is my final thought.
Perfect. Well, people who are listening who are maybe a Mexico-based startup in femtech, how do they send their deal to you, or how do people reach out to you?
Please follow us on LinkedIn, Empodera Impact Capital. Reach out. If you're an entrepreneur, if you're a philanthropist, if you are just interested in joining the movement, if you're a scholar, we are super excited about building this ecosystem, and we just want to get more people involved. We welcome all the men out there as well, building their companies. This is very important, and this has the power to really transform societies. So it has been great to share this space with Brittany, and you're such a pioneer in all of the work you're doing, inspiring other continents to take the lead and start this change.
Awesome. Well, we will put that LinkedIn URL and your contact info in the show notes. Thank you so much, Daniela, for your time today and being a pioneer yourself in Latin America. Love it. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to my interview with Daniela Pacheco, Managing Partner and Portfolio Manager at New Ventures. You can learn more about their new FemTech fund, Empora Impact Capital, and submit your LATAM FemTech deal through their LinkedIn page. We've provided the URL in the show notes. Okay, Fem fans, it's time to get engaged. If you love the show, then you'll definitely enjoy reading our weekly newsletter. Subscribe at femhealthinsights.com. While there, you can also join our virtual community, which has over 1,000 FemTech founders, investors, and advisors you can get insights and feedback from. We have an active events calendar, jobs board, and much more. Please give our social channels for FemTech Focus and Fem Health Insights a follow. The links are in the show notes. And don't forget, sharing is caring. Send this show to a friend or colleague and keep innovating, because improving women's health and wellness improves everyone's health and wellness.